Last week, many of you will have heard that our region in northern Colorado was in the news. Where we live, we were forecast to receive a huge snowstorm that was expected to hit over the weekend. They were predicting a lot of snow to fall, up to 2 feet where we live, and more in the surrounding areas. I think Boulder was probably even more, right? Maybe. Okay. I expected that the predictions were just a little bit exaggerated, but I think I was kind of right. We did, in fact, get dumped on, but it was only about a foot and a half between sundown on Saturday night and Saturday evening, rather, and the end of the day on Sunday. We got a bunch of really heavy and wet snow. Now, that much snow can be a big challenge to deal with if you have to move around in it at all. All that snow has to go somewhere. If you want to get your car onto the street, for example, or just even get out to your mailbox. And the only way to deal with it, the only way, is to get out there and get to work moving it. That's it. Or if you are brave enough, trudge through it, put on your... But even then, you have to go through the work of putting on snow pants or big tall boots, whatever. Now, I knew that we were going to get a bunch of snow, and I was talking with Mr. Harris earlier today about how I've been working from home the past year, and as a result, it's made me much more sedentary, for better or worse, than I normally am. I usually ride my bike to work every day and get a little bit of exercise, and because of that, I considered shoveling my driveway and sidewalks and on the corner lot where I live to be more of an opportunity than a chore. I wanted to get out and do some exercise. So I was kind of looking forward to it because of that. And I was at least enjoying it for the first 30 minutes while I had shoveled only half of my driveway. After about 2 hours of solid work, my attitude had changed a bit. I was ready to be done. And after that amount of work, 2 hours of solid shoveling, we could finally pull our van into one side of the driveway. It would be another day before I shoveled the snow in the street so that we could get out to where the snow plows had gone through so that we could actually leave our premises. So if we wanted to leave our home, the only option we had was to get to work and actually do something. And work, as you all know, is often not fun. Some people will say that if you spend time doing what you love, you never work a day in your life. But I think that has more to do with your attitude than anything else. What I believe to be true is that work, whether it is doing something you love or not, it is often simply not easy. Even if you're doing something you love, there are things you have to go through that are just unpleasant, make us uncomfortable. Work can be difficult. Work can intrude in our leisure time, get in the way of our comfort. Yet work is really important. The Bible tells us that we are to work 6 days a week, rest on the seventh day, which we are doing today. Work is also that thing which gives us the benefit of making progress in our lives. Work moves us forward. It is really the only way to accomplish any kind of virtuous goal that we might have. If you want to get stronger, if you want to learn something new, if you want to develop a skill, if you want to start up a business, you have to spend time working, doing stuff. And often that means getting comfortable, putting yourself in uncomfortable situations, those situations that expand your boundaries. Now, this situation applies to our spiritual growth and development even more. God has given us His Holy Spirit. This is His power living and working within us. It helps us to discern the truth, and it is our resource that we have been given, have been blessed with, so that we can profit from the time and effort that we put into our lives in growing spiritually. If we want to fulfill our potential that God knows that you and I have, if we want to become the amazing person that God has called us to be, that means that we have to put some work into our lives to use the Holy Spirit that he's given us and do something with it. We have to get to work. I'd like to begin in Jonah, going to chapter 3, and I'll read verses 4 through 10. Here, we all know the story of Jonah. Jonah was that prophet who was called by God to go to Nineveh, to let them know that they had some problems, that they needed to fix them, and they had to get busy doing something about it, to get to work. So going into Jonah, chapter 3, beginning in verse 4. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Continuing, so the people of Nineveh, they believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let every one turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish?" Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. The people of Nineveh repented. This is a success story. They had to fast the whole city, and that's not an enjoyable chore. But the biggest statement here is the one that says this: let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. These people had to make changes in their lives, fundamental changes. Turn from your evil way is what it says here. That's a big deal. How hard is it to look at our habits in life, look at the way we conduct ourselves, admit that we're doing something wrong, and change it? Habits are really hard to change. Yet these people here serve as an example of a success story. They were successful. And what did God see? He saw their works. He saw what they actually did. He saw that they put in time and effort into their spiritual change, into their spiritual growth. And he relented. God looked favorably upon the people of Nineveh in this story. Please turn over to James 1, and I'd like to read verses 22 through 25. James 1, and beginning in verse 22. "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Sometimes we may know what's right to do, as revealed by the Holy Spirit that works within us. Sometimes that might be a difficult chore. we may not have the courage, we might not have the ambition to do what we really need to do. We may dip our toe or feel like we can do part of it, but that's not enough. When I'm personally faced with a situation about what to do, I've come up with a very helpful test that helps me when I'm evaluating my options for what types of actions to take. I think about what I'm about to do, or what I have to do, weighing my options, and I ask the question of whether it produces the fruit of the Spirit. And we all know what the fruits of the Spirit are. Love is one of the penultimate fruits of the Spirit. Am I producing love? Am I expressing love? Love for God, love for mankind. Am I expressing my long-suffering? Am I working on obedience? Are my actions leading to that end result? Or, as is usually the case for the alternative options, am I serving myself? Am I doing what's comfortable? That test is something that we can put into our lives as we evaluate our options for what we need to do when we are trying to grow, when we are trying to do something, choose what to work. More often than not, the action that produces the fruit of the Spirit involves getting uncomfortable, like really, changing a way of life, doing something difficult. But it always pays off, always does. And the action that doesn't, that's the easier path. It's almost always the case. Now, this question about whether our actions produce and lead towards the fruit of the Spirit, it can be very difficult to answer. As we read in the opening statement here in James, it talks about not deceiving ourselves. It's so easy to think to myself, this is kind of expressing love. It's a little easier. We can think that we are deceiving ourselves. It's very easy to fall into that trap, thinking that the easier path is the one that produces the fruit of the Spirit, when in fact it may be self-serving. But if we're honest, as it says here about the work that we do, if we are committed to doing it, we will be blessed in what we do. Not blessed in how we think, not blessed in our opinions, but blessed in our actions. Going to James 2 and reading verses 14 through 20. James 2 and verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give him the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But some will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? It's not enough to believe the truth. We have to act upon what we believe is true. Otherwise, our faith is empty. When we trust in God, that is, having faith in what he says, when we are doing it right, we act upon that trust. We act upon those beliefs. Going back to Philippians chapter 2 and verses 12 through 16, we read a scripture with some gravitas. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my beloved brethren, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Remember that God works in us so that we can join him in his family. We need to do our part of that as well. Again, that is using the Holy Spirit, putting it into action, that is his down payment for us. Remember, he is investing in us. Our job is to profit with it by bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And doing that is going to make us uncomfortable, facing the limits of our own capabilities. But that's where we grow. We don't grow in the middle. We grow on the boundaries, on the edges of what we can do. We can grow. That is the whole point of God's investment in us. Now, I've seen some amazing examples in the past few weeks of people in the church rolling up their sleeves and doing some very difficult work. And I've been glad to see the positive results. It's good, but we're not done. You and I are not done. We're never going to be done until the return of Christ. The work of overcoming sin, the work of growing spiritually, the work of bringing fruits of the Spirit to maturity, that never ends. We have the Passover and spring holidays right around the corner. It's less than a week away, which is our time to examine ourselves and find those places where we can grow. It is time for us to get to work.